It is time to talk to the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And as we do on Tuesday morning, we talk to Shonisani Nepalama, who is the Nutritional Science Team Leader at the Heart and Stroke Foundation. And today we're talking about rheumatic fever. Shonisani, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Wayne, and good morning to the listeners. Thank you for having us again.
It's an absolute pleasure, as always. It's always good to chat to you. And talking today about rheumatic fever, if you can please tell our listeners more about Rheumatic Fever Week and some statistics regarding rheumatic fever.
Rheumatic fever is a week-long campaign that was declared by the National Department of Health to be commemorated annually on the first week of August. The reason for this is to highlight the need to implement proven interventions that will help to reduce the incidence of acute rheumatic fever and also rheumatic heart disease. So this year, the Heart and Stroke Foundation is currently commemorating rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease from the 3rd of August until the 9th of August 2024. We want to raise an awareness about the harms that rheumatic fever can cause to young children as well as an individual, because if it's not treated, it can lead to severe consequences or even death to people. When it comes to the stats, currently the incidence of acute rheumatic fever is 8 to 51 per 100,000 people worldwide, and it affects up to 40 million people living in a low-income to middle-income countries. The reason for this is because in countries that are of high-income countries, they have more resources to manage as well as to prevent rheumatic fever when you compare with countries that doesn't have resources. The other thing when it comes to the stats is that the Lancet Global Health, in May 2021, they presented their results, which highlighted that the sub-Saharan Africa region, it remains the highest region with the highest prevalence of rheumatic heart diseases, causing about 18,000 deaths annually.
Wow. And now the question is, what is rheumatic fever and what are the symptoms? You know, how would I know, hypothetically, if I had rheumatic fever or somebody that I knew had it?
That's a good question, Wayne, because if you're able to differentiate the symptoms of rheumatic fever with the other symptoms of a normal cold, you'll be able to seek immediate medical help. So the definition of rheumatic fever is defined as an abnormal immune reaction to a common bacteria called group A streptococcus, and is preceded 2 to 3 weeks earlier by the bacterial throat infection commonly called streptococcal throat. So in short version, it means that a person first, they develop a sore throat that was caused by streptococcus infection. And if it's not treated earlier, that streptococcus infection and sore throat will then lead to rheumatic fever. So this rheumatic fever, it usually affects children between the age of 5 to 15 years and those that are pregnant, because both these groups, they are more at risk because they have weakened immune system. And the other younger generation, they're still having immune system that's still developing. So when it comes to the symptoms that you can be able to use to differentiate between the normal cold with the strep, with the rheumatic fever, is that people that are having rheumatic fever, they usually have fever that is above 38 degrees. They have feelings of generally unfeeling well. They also experience shortness of breath, a skin rash, a heart murmur. And some people on a rare occasion, they also have uncontrolled body movements. So these are the symptoms that one can use to differentiate between the normal cold flu. And also on top of that, they also have a sore throat in the beginning.
Right, right. And what is the difference between rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease?
The main difference between the two is that one person starts by developing a rheumatic fever before they can develop rheumatic heart disease.
Okay.
So what happens is that once a person has rheumatic fever and they left it untreated, it can then involve cardiac or heart, where it will cause inflammation of the heart, which will then lead to the scarring of the heart valve, causing rheumatic heart disease. So the symptoms of rheumatic heart disease, they include chest pain or discomfort, a swelling of the heart, hands or feet. There is also shortness of breath with rheumatic heart disease. There is also fatigue and rapid or irregular heartbeat. Uh-huh. So if rheumatic heart disease is left untreated, it can lead to heart valve, permanent heart valve damage, a stroke, heart failure, or even premature death.
And what are the risk factors? I think you've mentioned one or two of them there, or contributing factors for rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease.
And I have mentioned one, two, which include the ages between 5 and 15 and those with pregnant being the contributing risk factor. The other risk factor is people that are living in an overcrowded or poor conditions. The reason for this is because I mentioned earlier that the rheumatic fever is usually preceded by the, it starts as a sore throat that was caused by streptococcal infection. So the streptococcal infection, it's an air droplet infection that one can catch in the air, which means that if someone that's having a streptococcus infection, they go into an overcrowded places, they're able to transmit that air droplet. So if it's people that are living in an overcrowded place, there isn't enough ventilation, which means that it will be easier for them to pick up that infection that can lead into rheumatic fever. So that's why it's important for people to avoid overcrowded places, right, because it's one of the contributing factors to rheumatic fever. And those that are between the age of 5 and 15, as well as pregnant, they're also at high risk. But there is also something that they can do to strengthen their immune system.
Right, right. And Shwanisani, how does one treat rheumatic fever or rheumatic heart disease if you've been diagnosed with it?
The most thing that once you're diagnosed is that you need to follow what the doctor has prescribed for you, because the medical doctor, healthcare professional, they will then prescribe medication to reduce fever, inflammation, and pain. So that's why it's important to follow it for an extended period. The antibiotic that you use to treat the rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease, it's an oldest antibiotic called penicillin. The doctors will prescribe for a patient. We need to ensure that we are taking the treatment as it's prescribed and we drink it until it finishes to prevent a reinfection of the streptococcus infection.
Right, right. And Shwanisani, can you give listeners some advice on how we can prevent this illness from developing?
Yes, there are some things that we can do to prevent the streptococcal infection. Community level efforts are very much recommended because these focus on raising awareness about the group A streptococcal throat infection and also their link to rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease. The other thing that we can do is also to improve our living conditions, which include the hygiene and also access to primary health care, because once primary health care is prioritized, a lot of people, once they develop a sore throat, they will then be able to go to primary health care to seek medical attention, right, which can help to prevent the sore throat to be a rheumatic fever. The other things that we can do to prevent rheumatic fever as well as rheumatic heart disease is that we, as the parents, caregivers, as well as school teachers, we need to educate the children on the looking out for sore throat as well as the precautions they need to do if they feel they have a sore throat, because if we educate a child about the precautions, once they have the sore throat, they will then be able to tell the parents about it, which will then, the parent will have to take a measure to make sure that the child doesn't go to school. They stay at home, and also they are taking to the hospital or the primary health care so that they can receive necessary treatment to avoid passing the disease or the infection to other children. The other thing that we need to do, as I mentioned, is good hygiene, which also include hand washing to prevent the spread of germs.
Right.
The other main important thing, as I mentioned, that you had me talking about, rheumatic fever usually is an it's an abnormal immune reaction that is caused by the streptococcus infection. And also those that are having a weaker immune system, they are more at risk. So the other thing that we can do is to make sure that we have adequate sleep for about 7 to 9 hours. We also exercise if we're obesity, because exercising will help to improve our heartbeat as well as strengthen the muscle of the heart. And also if we are obese or overweight, it will help us to lose weight. And also we need to eat healthy. because eating food that are of good nutrients like complex carbohydrates, lean proteins, good fats, as well as fruit and vegetable, those foods, they contain vitamins, minerals, as well as macronutrients that will help to strengthen the immune system. The other thing that we can also do is that we need to avoid people who are sick, because if people are sick, they're able to transmit the infection to another person. The last thing that we can also do is also we need to be able to manage our stress level, because stressing helps, it weakens the immune system. But if we try to avoid stress, it will help us to ensure that our immune system is stronger, so that once we do come across infection, our body will be able to fight that infection. Then it will have less risk of us getting rheumatic fever.
So in a nutshell, stay healthy would be the way to actually do it. You know, that's the bottom line, is try and stay as healthy as possible.
Yes, that's the bottom line. Try to stay as healthy as possible so that you make sure that your immune system is stronger, so that if you do catch any kind of infection, your body is able to fight it.
Able to fight it. And Shonisani, where can listeners go to find out more information about today's topic and, in fact, any of the topics that we speak about here on Wild Coast Radio?
They can go to our website at www.heartfoundation.co.za. They will be able to find the topics that are talking about here at Wild Coast. And also they can visit our social media pages at on Facebook, X, as well as Instagram. We also do post our weekly topics that we discuss. But if a person feels that they need someone or healthcare professional to talk to, they can call our head office at 021-422-1586.
Great. Shonisani, thank you very, very much. Thanks for your time and thanks for chatting to us. And I look forward to chatting again next week, Tuesday.